Would you turn back to Psalm 40? I have entitled this message, God's Thoughts. God's Thoughts. God is a person. God has thoughts. What are His thoughts of me? What are His thoughts of you? God's thoughts. Now, in this 40th Psalm, who is speaking? Look in verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me, I delight to do thy will. Oh, my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, is there any question regarding who is speaking? This is quoted in Hebrews chapter 10 as the direct words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever we read the Psalms, we ought to remember that the first application is Christ speaking. That's the first application. And then it's what David says. Both. Let's read this whole Psalm in light of that. Remember, this is Christ speaking first. And this is David speaking. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward. Now, who's the usward? Who's he speaking of? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ can never be separated from his people? He was saying, great and glorious your thoughts to me and every one of my brethren, every one of my children. The Lord cannot be separated from his people. We're his bride. We're his body. We're his church. Now, look how many thoughts there are. These thoughts which are to usward, Christ and his people, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. And he's talking about him and his people. Now, how God thinks of Christ. How does God think of Christ? And all God thinks of Christ. And how often God thinks of Christ is how, all, and how often he thinks of the believer. Delphus, he's thought of you today. You've been on his heart. That's a hard thing to get hold of, isn't it? That God, the God of glory, actually thinks of me. It almost seems impossible. We say with David, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast made, what is man that thou art even mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Mankind, an anthill. Me, an ant. How much significance is there to that? And yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Look in verse 17. This is the Lord speaking, and this is David speaking. David says in Psalm 40, verse 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Now, how often does God think of Christ? There's never a time when he's not thinking about him. Never a time. And that's how often the God of glory is thinking of me. Because I am united to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Psalm 139. You see, the Lord knows our name. Psalm 139. Now, once again, you see this as referring to the Lord, and you see this as referring to us. Psalm 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You know, I don't understand my thought, but he does. That's a comforting thing to think. He knows me through and through. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I can't attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me. And Thy right hand shall hold me. Don't you love that hymn? He leadeth me, O blessed thought. What word with heavenly comfort wrought. He leads me, whether I'm aware of it or not. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Oh, the Lord's so glorious. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast my kidneys, my affections. You've possessed them. You've covered me in my mother's womb. Put your hand on me before I was even born. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. And this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is talking about the believer. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Now, this can't much be understood, but it can be believed. His thoughts toward me. Now, can we know his thoughts? Well, can you know my thoughts? There's only one way you can know my thoughts, if I make them known. If I let you know what's going on in here, you can know my thoughts. And God has made known his thoughts. Amos 4:13 says, he declareth unto man what is his thought. And the Bible is the thoughts of God. That's a good way of describing the Word of God. This book we call the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. It's the thoughts of God. As a man thinketh in his heart, the Scripture says, so is he. And as God thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, where we get into trouble is when we start depending on our own thoughts. Now, that's where we really mess up. Turn with me for a minute to 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9. So Naaman came. Remember Naaman the leper. Naaman was a leper. He thought himself to be a great man who happened to be a leper. And he didn't realize he was a leper who happened to be a great man. All he was a leper. This represents his sinfulness. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Now, wait a minute. Naaman was somebody. Naaman was a powerful man. Naaman was an important man. Won't Elisha even go out and answer the door? No. He just sends a servant. You see, he knew he needed to be humbled. He knew he had way too high an opinion of himself. So he just sent his messenger saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth. He was offended. He went away and said, "Behold, I thought." There's his trouble. "Behold, I thought. Surely he'll come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over this place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. He thought. God said in Psalm 50:21, "Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as yourself." Now, listen to me real carefully. I want you to hear this. You take every thought you've ever had about God that you've known by your intuition, and you can write this down. It's wrong. Every one of them. Wrong. God's not like me and you. He's utterly unique. He's holy. That means many things. Among other things, it means other. Other. He's altogether different. The Lord said, "That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Now, I want you to think about that. That which is highly esteemed among men, God sees it as an abomination. Turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." His thoughts, the things he thinks. Forsake it, it's wrong. "And let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, this is what is called repentance. Changing your mind. His thoughts are not my thoughts. You see, my way, let the wicked forsake his way. My way is the wrong way. There's a way that seemeth right to a man. The way of salvation by works. It's natural. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Forsake your thoughts, your wrong thoughts about yourself. You think too highly of yourself. Forsake your wrong thoughts of God. You bring him down on your level and you think he's like you are. It ain't that way. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Forsake your wrong thoughts about mercy and pardon. Look once again at verse 7. He says, "Our God will abundantly pardon." He will have mercy upon him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. Now here's the way we think. I know this. Lord, have mercy on me. I need mercy. Have mercy on me, and I won't do it again. Have mercy on me, because really there were extenuating circumstances, and it's not altogether my fault. If I hadn't been placed in this position, or have mercy on me, it's really not all that bad. I mean, have mercy on me. You know how David prayed? "Lord, for thy name's sake, pardon mine iniquity, for it's great." Not, "It's not all that bad." "Oh, pardon mine iniquity, for it's great. If you don't do something for me, it's over for me." You know, here's what we think. Here's what every natural man thinks. They think forgiveness of sins is something we end with. If we do this, if we do that, if we quit doing this, if we get this straightened out, if we stop going here and going there, if we believe, we'll have the forgiveness of sins. And the gospel does not end with the forgiveness of sins. The gospel begins with the full, free, frank forgiveness of sins for Christ's sake. He doesn't forgive you because you're sorry or because of anything in you. He does it for Christ's sake, and this is where the gospel begins. It's not the end, it's the beginning. Now, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That's just a fact, isn't it? My ways are higher than your ways. That's just a fact. Now, here's what we think. God, because He is gracious, endures me and puts up with me for Christ's sake. But I'm not somebody where He actually desires to have me as His company. You know how some people are hard to love? Some people are just hard to love. You love them, but it isn't easy. They make it difficult. Well, I'm one of those people who are hard to love. God loves me in Christ, but He is disgusted by me in myself. That's what I think. He endures me. He puts up with me for Christ's sake. I kind of liken it to, say you want to get a date with a beautiful girl, and the only way that you can get that date is if her little brother comes. And you've got her little brother there. You endure him being there. You don't like him being there, but he's got to be there, or you don't get the date. And I think that's somehow what we think of the Lord's view of us. He endures us. He endures us for His Son's sake. But He really doesn't want us around. Not in reality. He couldn't actually desire our company. And what that demonstrates is how low our thoughts of God really are. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. This is how we would be. Therefore, we think this is how the Lord is. But my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Now, how He sees His people is a whole lot different than how we think He sees us. I love that passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 6, verse 11. It says, "Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, would God tell us to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to sin? Sin has nothing to say to me. My sin's put away. I stand perfect before God. Sin has nothing to do with me. It's over. Now, would God tell me to reckon myself to be dead indeed to sin if I weren't in fact dead indeed to sin? And somebody says, "I don't feel dead indeed to sin." I'm not asking you to feel dead to sin. I'm asking you to believe you are. Because God says, "Reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin." I really believe that when Christ was raised from the dead, I became dead to sin. All my connection with sin was gone. Turn to Jeremiah 29. Now, let me give the what was going on here in Jeremiah 29. Verse 10. "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." Now, think of the position they were in. They were banished. They were in Babylon. They were mistreated. They were under bondage. And they felt like God had forgotten them. They felt like they were under God's punishment. And God had driven them off. And they felt all alone. And this is the way a real...